The Lord be with you. Our chapel speaker this morning is Lisa Moore, Assistant Professor of Social Work and Family Studies. It is also National Coming Out Day, and she will be speaking on that topic. Our prayer this morning comes from our hymnal, and the title is Time of Conflict. Let us pray. O God, where hearts are fearful and constricted, grant courage and hope. Where anxiety is infectious and widening, grant peace and reassurance. Where impossibilities close every door and window, grant imagination and resistance. Where distrust twists our thinking, grant healing and illumination. Where spirits are daunted and weakened, grant soaring wings and strengthened dreams. All these things we ask in the name of Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord. Amen.
Good morning. So, I picked this date for a chapel talk, National Coming Out Day, because I thought organizing a talk around a theme would aid me in organizing my thoughts. I should have realized that once I started thinking about what to say, I would go down memory lane, reminiscing about my first march in 1993, recalling the outstanding black lesbian conferences and self-care retreats I would frequent, attending a predominantly black LGBTQ church on occasion, and in general, recalling the sheer joy of what it was to be black, single, lesbian, and out. It was essentially the adolescence I never had. I was able to be all of myself all of the time. Fast forward to over 20 years later, and I am legally married to a white, transmasculine spouse, and on the surface, we appear to be in a cisgender, heteronormative relationship. We are a multiracial family living in what is, to me, rural Minnesota, and drive not only a Subaru, but also a Honda Pilot SUV. And I live in a house full of testosterone, and work at a college affiliated with the Evangelical Lutheran Church of America. Not exactly the black lesbian separatist communal row house in Washington, D.C. I had envisioned starting with my friend 20 years ago. But the joy is still very much there. I have friends all around the globe, and I'm appreciative of that. And by the way, you never really stop coming out. It just starts to look different as you get older. It is also true that you begin to recognize that to some extent, it seems that many people beyond the LGBTQ spheres are struggling to come out about something all of the time, though its meaning may be very different. In Audre Lorde's book, Zammy, she poses the following question in her introduction: to whom do I owe the symbols of my survival? She answers by describing the most subtle of interactions and routines and how within those moments one can sense the questions not being answered, as well as be comforted by what is known. You see, to be out is to embrace yourself, to be proud of who you are, and not to be ashamed of who you are not. Being out often means recognizing the intersectionality of one's identity and not sacrificing one identity in service to the other. Being out often means you get to experience a mutuality that you never experienced before, a sense of not having to explain or educate. Being out in an ideal world is liberating. Unfortunately, the reality is that for some people who are out, the outcomes are tragic. It may be they are a trans feminine woman walking down the street and is one of the 22 who we know of who have been murdered this year. It may be that you are an LGBTQ youth who is being harassed by kids at school for being gay. Or it may be that the church, temple, or mosque that is at the core of how your family is organized is not accepting of you anymore. In each of these instances, the courage it took for people to simply be themselves resulted in outcomes that did harm. These outcomes were not their fault. Rather, the blame lies with the perpetuation of normalcy and the standards that are often rooted in particular interpretations of religious doctrine. I mention these realities to remind us that there is good reason why some people are not out or choose not to be out beyond a close circle of friends. So while I have at times minimized the significance of coming out, I have to say the experiences indicate that to be out is still a very bold and brave act to take. 2 weeks ago, I was presenting at a transgender health conference in Boston. Throughout the conference, some of the world's best researchers on transgender health We're sharing current research on the provision of care to transgender adults, children, and youth. As each presenter shared a new set of statistics highlighting health outcomes and trends associated with the provision of care, the role of a patient's community and their gender affirmation process, community played a significant role in their overall health outcomes. These trends were not radically different from what I heard at a lesbian and bisexual women's conference 2 years ago, nor is it radically different from presentations I heard 10 years ago. But being sufficiently out is to be able to engage with people who can relate to your experience. It is part of one's survival. You see, coming out is all about one's context, and my students are probably sick of hearing me say that word. I say it a lot. In 2016, when people come out now, for good or bad, it is memorialized forever on whatever form of social media you may use. Press the wrong button now, and you may come out to a small group of intimate friends or the entire world. In some ways, I would argue that coming out now is far harder than it was 25 years ago, when one, that would be me, mailed hard copy letters to relatives across the country, and cell phones weren't being mass produced. Because not only is one exposed to more images, discussions, and formalized knowledge on the experience of being LGBTQ now, but the pressure to perform your identity is much higher as there are so many venues in which to demonstrate who you are all of the time. As someone who is in my second year at St. Olaf and still trying to understand the nuances of campus culture here as well as the Midwest, I often wonder what it is like to be LGBTQ at St. Olaf. I asked a couple of students last night when I was working on the talk, and what I've heard them say, and what I've heard also in my classes, is that sometimes it can be frustrating because they're not sure if their experiences are taken seriously. For others, it's been incredibly affirming. They find a community of genderqueer students who affirm them and make them feel good about who they are, and they become involved with GLOW. Though National Coming Out Day has become another event for LGBTQ annual celebrations, the reality is that increasingly our learning is not taking place by witnessing the joy or love. Rather, it is rooted in our silences. Though the experience of coming out is something that all of us can relate to in some way, shape, or form, the meaning of it is quite distinct depending on your situation. It's that context thing again. When we reflect on the very concept of coming out, we have to sit with the reality that the reason why it remains an important moment is because it challenges the negation of experience through silence. It is the opposite. It is bold and it is direct. When a person is able to give voice to their experience or speak out against the historical forms of violence, literal and figurative, others may be compelled to think about their own complicity in doing harm. Though I am focusing on LGBTQ identity primarily in relation to coming out, the reality is that often people are having to make decisions about the ways they are going to speak out. People are risking their livelihoods and communities by bringing attention to the ways institutions are doing harm. Whether it is taking a position on Black Lives Matter, being principled about one's political affiliations, or challenging the status quo on global conflicts, increasingly people are having to sit through justifications for why harm is being done. Coming out in the United States has recently become a concept that in our society today is increasingly part of the realities that many have never had to consider. We are challenged to recognize the ways in which our choices to be silent collude with power that does harm. So given my comments and the gravity of coming out, why in the world would anybody do it? Why would someone want to be openly who they are, and even more significantly, why would they want to raise children in the midst of this mess? The reality is that when one experiences the mutuality, experience through relationships, there is a sense of power in the connection, as well as an incredible sense of joy and love. The neuroscience tells us that relationships make us feel good. There is a bit of a pop to our sense of being that exists when we have had an affirming interaction. There's a reason why people are constantly checking their text messages. We like that pop. Being affirmed is good for our brains and good for our health. To spend the majority of one's life living in a culture that prioritizes cisgender heteronormative relationships and shifting to one where it is not can only be described by me as exhilarating. There is a sense of being seen that quite literally makes you want to dance. In the midst of this pain, you possess the means to survive it. When the protests were happening in North Carolina over HB2, one of the most popular video clips being circulated was of a trans feminine person voguing in front of the officers. This particular moment was sailing it for many activists in North Carolina, as it was around the world. It was a reclaiming of their right to be present and to be fierce. It was yet another symbol of survival that emerged during an ongoing time of crisis in North Carolina. To be out is to recognize you're part of a community and its legacy that is ever changing. As James Baldwin wrote in The Fire Next Time, Love takes off masks that we fear we cannot live without and know we cannot live within. Thank you.
May God fill you with hope, strengthen you with love, and bless you with peace. Amen.